titled Joy in the City. We've talked about unity. We talked about prayer last week. And today we'd like to share with you about the Holy Spirit and His work in this wonderful thing called joy, joy in our city. You want to hear a great joke? I thought this was a good joke. First service didn't last, but they don't have a sense of humor. So hopefully you guys will do better. I heard once about the preacher that, he said, God, may your spirit be on me as I give this message this morning. So he stood up and he's preaching, and during his sermon, he said, you know what, folks, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd pour it all in the river. And then he said, you know what, folks, if I had all the wine in the world, I'd pour it all in the river. And if I had all the whiskey in the world, I would pour it all in the river. And he felt really good about his message until the song leader got up and stood the congregation up and led them in, Shall We Gather at the River? See, they didn't have a sense of humor, did they? I like that. You know, A.W. Tozer said this about the Holy Spirit. And I think this is one of the most powerful quotes that I have ever seen pertaining to this subject. Look at what he said. He said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and nobody would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Do you understand what that's saying? He's saying that the church today is fundamentally different because of how we look at and what we believe about the Holy Spirit of God. Because the sad truth is that if today, the Holy Spirit, if it was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would just keep right on going, keep right on happening, and nobody would notice any difference, no change. But in the New Testament church, if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn, 95% of what they did would have stopped. And everybody would have known the difference. That's the way the church went from 12 to 11 to hundreds to thousands and to around the world. Because the Spirit of God working in the lives of people. You know, when you think about the Word of God, John 16 has some great things to say about the Holy Spirit. Let me share a few things with you. He says there, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to just read with me that line that is underlined, okay? Let's all do it together. It is for your good that I'm going away. Say it again. It is for your good that I'm going away. One more time. It is for your good that I am going away. Who said this? How in the world could that be true? If you think about the days between His death and His resurrection, despair was on the menu. Why? Because their Savior, their Lord, He was gone. How in the world could it ever be considered good for Jesus to be gone? See, if the Holy Spirit is taken out of the church today, 95% of what we do would just keep right on going. Nobody notices the difference. It is good for you that I am going away. Jesus said this, and I don't think the disciples, I don't think their heart even skipped a beat. I don't think they noticed anything. I think this just went right over their heads. I don't think they understood what Jesus was saying here. He says later that, that you will do greater things than I have done. How could that be true? You see, Jesus was talking about an existence that is so foreign to how most people think today. Let me give you another way to think about this. Somebody once said, you know what? I can't wait till this life is over. I can't wait to be in the presence of God. You ever said that? You know, my wife is kind of famous for that. She's like, you know, somebody says, somebody got sick and they died. And my wife's like, oh, I can't wait to be with Jesus. I can't wait to be with Jesus. You've said that, right? I've said that. Think about this, folks. Someone once said that when the true believer who depends on the Spirit of God, when he leaves this earth and he's in the presence of God the Father, there will be ultimately no difference. Why? Because I believe that I have God right now. The Holy Spirit lives in me. It is God's promise. It is the third person of the Trinity. I have as much of God right now living inside of me as I will have for all of eternity because I have God in my life. People say, you know what? I wish I'd have been around when Jesus lived. Boy, I wish I'd have been around in the Old Testament when God the Father talked to His people. Listen, folks, we have God. We have all of God in our lives today. That's why Jesus says it's good that I'm going away. Because ultimately, He's still going to be here. You know, this word advocate is such an interesting word. You know, if you define the word advocate, it's a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. Jesus Christ leaves us with the Spirit. The Spirit is our advocate. The word here in the Greek is the Greek word paraclete. And it's a very unusual word. It's a word that we don't understand a whole lot about because it's only used 5 times in the New Testament. And 4 out of those 5 times it refers to the Holy Spirit. Some of the other translations use the word encourager, helper, and other things. He says that I will be your advocate, the paraclete. It's the combination of 2 words, meaning that God is going to stand beside us and support us. I was thinking about this, and I thought back to some years ago when my mother passed away, and my family, we all gathered together there in Virginia, and my 5 sisters and my brother, they all said, John, would you speak on behalf of the family? I said, you know what, folks, I really don't want to do that. I wasn't sure I could do it. And they said, oh, come on, John, you do this all the time. You please stand up and tell people how much we appreciate them. So at the particular time in the service, I got up, I'd prepared what I was going to say, I stood behind the podium, and I looked out, and I was so prepared to tell and speak from my heart. I opened my mouth, and I went to pieces. Absolutely went to pieces, sobbing so hard that I could not speak. And I'll never forget my dear wife, Arlene. She got up out of her seat finally, and it was funny. At first, I thought she got up because I was embarrassing her. But it made me feel so much better when I realized that she really came to help. To put her arm around me and to hold my hand and to even speak for me when I couldn't say the words. And she spoke a little bit and I got myself together and I could speak a little bit. And then she would, Jesus says, that's what I want to do with you. During the tough things of life, I want to be your advocate. I want to be the person who supports you, who recommends your cause to the world. And listen, folks, when we understand that, when we understand that that's what we have living inside of us, oh, what a blessing it is. But John 16 is interesting because it says 3 other things here in John 16 that I think are particularly interesting about the Holy Spirit. It tells us what His job is. In verse number 8, it says that when He comes, He's going to convict the world. Have you ever wondered how in the world somebody can commit an egregious crime? And then a couple days later, after they spend time in jail, they show them in court, and they're just sobbing and weeping, and they're so sorrowful for what they did. How do you get from being able to commit this egregious offense to feeling so guilty and weary and sorrowful? That's conviction. Does God convict you? Does the Holy Spirit convict you? That's one of His jobs. I mean, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to say to you, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't talk like that. You know, we always think about other people telling us, you know what, you shouldn't gossip. But you know what? The Holy Spirit tells us we shouldn't gossip if we listen to Him. We don't need somebody else to tell us. You know, I don't need somebody to find me out in my sin and point out that I'm doing something that's detrimental to myself or to my family or to my ministry. If I just listen to the Holy Spirit, He's going to tell me that. That's one of His jobs. Listen to Him when He tries to tell you that. He also says in verse 13, I think this is really interesting. He says that when the Spirit of truth comes, He's going to guide you. He's going to guide you into all truth. You know, isn't it amazing how we live our lives trying to find out particular information about things? You know, my daughter Sarah, she taught me something really interesting recently. I forget now what I was wanting to do. I know what it was. I bought a camera, and I said, I was trying to figure out some things about the camera, you know, and she was at my house, and she got on her computer, and she just typed in, you know, how can I get the most out of my Nikon D7200? And all of a sudden, she's just showing me tutorial after tutorial and tips and all these things. It was like incredible. She said, Dad, listen, you can find out anything you want to learn how to do, you can find out about it on the internet. It's like, you know, how do you make southern cornbread that northerners don't like? Do you know you can find that? You Google it. You'll see what I'm talking about. You know, one day I was looking at my poor little dog, Wilson. I looked at him and I noticed his eyes were getting really blue. They were really getting this total blue tint over his whole eyes. He's kind of old now. I typed into a search engine, why are my dog's eyes blue? I found out. You can find out anything on the internet if you just type in, how can I, and then just fill in the blank. Listen, folks. The greatest source of truth is not Google. The greatest source of truth is the Spirit of God living in you and me. When we become a Christian, when we are born again, we get the entire Spirit inside of us. He will convict us and He will guide us. And look at this last thing. I think this is so interesting. In verse 15 of John 16, look at what it says. Very interesting phrase. He says, the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. This is Jesus. So the Spirit, He's going to convict you. He's going to guide you into truth. And He's going to tell you whatever He receives from me. I think about when Jesus said that He and the Father are one. You know, we looked last couple weeks in John 17 in the prayer when He said that, I pray, Lord, that I pray God the Father that they will be one like you and I are one. I am in you, you are in me, that they will be in us. And then Jesus says, it's good that I'm leaving you, so the Advocate will come, the Helper will come. And He's going to tell you whatever He receives from me. Well, there's a subtle message there for all believers in Christ. That the Holy Spirit is God Himself living among us and in us as well. Now let me attempt to go just a little bit deeper here, kind of in a silly way, but I think it really makes the point. Who is this? Who is it? Who? Where does the come from? You know, you look this up. I Googled this. You Google this. You don't see the. I think the. Some Yankee put the in there. Because down south where I come from, it's Smokey Bear. Smokey Bear. What's the? Smokey the Bear. And then I got to thinking. We always say, the Holy Spirit. I think in a subtle way, by us saying the Holy Spirit, we minimize that He's a person. That He's part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity. When God said, let's make Him in our image. You know, when Jesus was referred to the Word that was there in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's Holy Spirit. And I think just in a subtle way, we need to lose the so that we emphasize that He is a person, that He is real, that He is God, and that He's living not only with us, but He's living in us today. Because God wants to be more than the Holy Spirit. He wants to be Holy Spirit living in each of us. You know, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting, and tedious of all work. I've tried it. Have you? I've tried it. I've tried to live. I've tried to do things of my own accord, on my own strength, on my own spirit. And it just never works as God intended. I mean, for us to not only deny the power of the Holy Spirit, but for us not to take advantage of the Holy Spirit is an incredible low in life. So think about this. If your life is confusing, if your life is exhausting, if your life seems tedious, maybe it's because you are not realizing and depending on, I almost said the Holy Spirit, on God. And if we do, it's amazing that the strength that will be ours. You know, the other day I was driving down the road and I was thinking about this. You know, I was thinking about times past, you know, when maybe you're thinking and trying on your own strength, and then other times when you really get it right and you feel really good about what God is doing in you and through you, and trying to contrast the difference in that. You know, maybe instead of WWJD, maybe we should say, what would the Spirit do? It's the same thing. And I know when I depend on that Spirit, it is incredible how exhilarating life can be. I was driving down the road and I was listening to the radio. And this song came on the radio. And I just want you to listen to the words of this song, because I feel like that it was God literally speaking to me at that moment. Because at that particular moment, this song came on, and it's all about the Holy Spirit and about His strength and His might and His purpose. And honestly, listening to this song at that point in my life helped me so much. And I hope it'll help you. Listen to this.
Deliver us from the power of your
if life is confusing, exhausting, or tedious, it's because you're not depending on that Spirit of God that He's given to you. You know, I started with a quote from Tozier, and I'd like to end with another quote from him. He said, "I don't want the world to define God for me. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal God to me." And you see, that's the difference between the first century church and the church today. If the Holy Spirit were taken out of the church today, nothing would change and nobody would notice. But if the Holy Spirit had been taken out of the church then, everything would have changed and everyone would have noticed. And it's because of this. Because they said that they didn't want the world to change them, to define them. They wanted the Spirit of God to work in them to change the world. And that should be your prayer and my prayer as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it almost seems too little to say what a blessing your Spirit is among us. Because God, it's more than a blessing. It's the total presence of God in our lives. And just as in Jesus' day, there were very few people that really noticed the Son of God, today, very few people notice God is still among us. But Father, we know that. Father, we believe that. And we believe with all our heart that Spirit can make a difference in how we live and how we believe. So God, we invite you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to convict us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to guide us. Remind us, Lord, that when you, Holy Spirit, speak to us, that it is the words that Jesus Christ Himself speaks to you to say into our hearts. And Father, may it change who we are, how we live, and how we love each other and the world. In Jesus' name we pray.